yourself and got voted out. This is why blank lost, and this is why blank lost. Oh baby, this is why blank lost.
Welcome back to Why Blank Lost. I'm David Bloomberg, and with me, of course, is my co-host for what has been a very eventful season of Big Brother, Ovi Kabir.
Very eventful season indeed. Eventful week? Not so much. I think David's notes, essentially my week one notes are longer than the notes I have for this evictee this week. I don't know about your notes, but mine aren't very long.
Yeah, I mean, the season has had a lot going on, and not to spoil anything for the rest of the podcast, I'm not sure Alyssa's game can exactly be described the same way. But hey, even if not, everyone should stick around through the analysis to find out everything she hasn't done or has done wrong, because we're going to have end game predictions at, you know, well, at the end. So definitely stick around for those.
No, I was going to say this evictee, this Alyssa is, you know, this is why I blank lost. We're a deep dive in a game. Unfortunately, she is an antithesis of why this was created. If every player was like Alyssa, this show would not happen. It would be very
It would. It's interesting because sometimes the people who aren't the best players have longer podcasts because you have to explain all the things that they did wrong. So we'll see if that happens here. But first, to steal a line, we will follow our usual path of looking at that information from TV, live feeds, interviews, comparing what there was of her game to a set of guiding rules for winning I originally wrote in 2004 and have modified since, with the most recent version posted at robhaswebsite.com/bigbrotherrules. Now, before we get to the rules, we usually have some things to discuss about the week in general. Obviously, the biggest news is Taylor and Monty getting much closer to each other, close enough to feel the heat of the bear.
I was just waiting for the David innuendo.
Wasn't the David innuendo? That was the Monty innuendo. You know, for our purposes, focusing on the strategy, it'll be interesting to see if it affects endgame planning for either of them. Now, as I mentioned, we'll get to that later in the podcast. But I mean, I think it has the possibility of throwing a wrench into the works.
See, this is why I love coming on here every week, is because we take on something so dramatic, so entertaining, and something that's literally put the whole Big Brother Twitter in a spiral is the Monty and Taylor's, you know, showmance. And instead of talking about the juicy gossip of it or the entertainment, we talk about how it affects their game.
That's right.
How it impacts it. And here's the thing is that it could be, if there's ever a time to have a showmance, this might be a good time to solidify something near the end. You just have to make sure other people don't catch wind of it. And It was very risky to actually kind of be so apparent and start this, which we'll probably discuss a little bit more. But when you're on the block, when you're very clearly a person on the block, which Taylor was, and with the person who's in power, Monty. So that's scary. And I don't really know if there was much strategic thought going into the showmance. But again, like you said, there is some strategy in the aftermath of it.
Yeah, I don't think there was even strategy in not getting caught, because like, you know, they have managed to keep it a secret so far, but like, even when Alyssa went to wake them at 2 in the afternoon and it was just the two of them, neither of them figured it out, even though Monty and Taylor left the door unlocked. You know, I mean, they thought quickly and said, oh, Turner's supposed to be here, you know, which when just being awakened, that's pretty quick thinking. But yeah, the HOH room is like the only room in the house that has a lock. Use it.
Yeah, I think they, you know, here's the thing. When you're in the Big Brother house, I imagine it's like, you have tunnel vision, right? And if you're there for that 70 plus days, sometimes emotions get the better of you. Everything else gets better without the logic. I'll just say emotions for better lack of better words. I think we just saw that. They're very lucky that the players didn't really figure it out too much until the end, and they didn't really act on it, which I'm surprised, though. I feel like it really happened incredibly quickly. We saw just kind of forms of the relationship this week, and before we knew it, they were kind of in a full-blown showman. So
yeah,
quite quickly and rapidly. Now there is a never want a showman to get to the end, and now potentially there is.
Well, you know, I mean, that's a little unfair. They didn't form the showmance till they were at the end. You can't count that. You know, I will object. If they start saying this showmance made it to the end, I will object and say, no, that was after.
Now, we need a rule. There has to be a cutoff point for this.
That's That's right.
End game jury and before end game showmance and not.
Now, a different interesting thing to me this week was I found myself simultaneously rooting for Brittany to get her way while also rooting for Taylor to stay, even though obviously both things can't happen. It was nice to see some fight out of Brittany. You know, I mean, did she go about trying to get Turner's vote the right way by trying to trick him into a sympathy vote for Alyssa? No, I mean, that was never going to work. It's, you know, there's only two votes. You're giving a sympathy vote. That's way too easy. Even for even Turner's not going to fall for that. But at least she talked to Alyssa a lot, got her moving to see what she could do. But, you know, all that Alyssa could get was lots of lies from Turner. And like I said, I definitely didn't want Taylor to go, but I did want to see a plan succeed. So I was really torn by the whole situation.
Yeah, I think we just saw Brittany really try to come out as a player. She without Michael this week, and we saw her succeed in a lot of ways, from winning the veto, knowing, having the awareness that she's in the hot seat, having the ability to win the veto, and then afterwards realizing that Monty and Taylor are so close of a pair, and then Turner and Monty are so close of a pair, that leaves her kind of the odd man out. Mm-hmm. So having that understanding from her coming into that week as Taylor being her second person now with Michael being gone, realizing that actually I need to flip the dynamic. I don't know if people might disagree, but I did actually appreciate, for better or worse, seeing Brittany try to scramble, fight for her life, but not let it end after she was safe. She understood that the next week's going to come and this is what she has to do for it. And if anything, I would argue she almost fought harder for Alyssa than Alyssa did herself.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and part of the reason that I wanted Brittany to succeed was because of how self-righteous some of these players have been acting. And I know it's mostly game moves, and that's fine. You want to make game moves, that's great. But for Monty to lecture Brittany like an errant schoolgirl for hours because she dared to question him when she was actually right, you know, I just wanted to see his plan blow up. And then for Turner to tell Alyssa over and over, I'm being honest with you. Trust me. You're being emotional. You're overthinking it. You know, that made me feel similarly. I mean, like I said, it was all game. Good for them. Mm-hmm. I do feel it could have been handled better. And then, you know, normally we don't talk about anything that happens after the vote, but there's a very, very tiny live feed spoiler that doesn't impact anything. Turner lectured Brittany and said that he felt it was wrong of her to use his friendship with Alyssa as a game move, even though he always says to separate game and emotion. So basically, it's good for others, but not for him. To her credit, she basically ignored him, walked away, which was what he deserved.
Yeah, I think, I mean, to your point, you know, there's a way to handle things and a way not to handle things. Monty and Taylor, I didn't really appreciate some of the stuff with Monty specifically with Brittany, but they were in a power position doing what was best for their game. Here's my issue is with Turner. I don't think it was the smartest decision for Turner to do what he did this week. I think Alyssa was one, a definite person he can beat at the end. Two, a number on his side and an ally right there. And three, he didn't owe really Monty anything after this point. Next week there, it's not like Monty's going to make sure it's a gentleman's game. You're going to the end. And so it was really interesting to see that he wasn't willing to take that chance and actually secure Monty potentially as his final two, because if he takes Taylor out, then Monty has really no choice but to rely on Turner over Alyssa / Brittany. And so Yeah, I think that was really strange to see the reaction Monty had regarding Alyssa with Brittany, when it was really actually to the betterment of his game if he decided to vote out Taylor.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, normally at this point, we would go to, you know, our segment, Julie Chen Moonves is Wrong About Blank. But as we are recording, Dalton Ross's usual interview where we get all of our material isn't posted yet. Dalton, come on, man. So we'll just have to presume that she's wrong about something, which is
has to be
pretty much a certainty.
Very good bet.
Yeah, move on from there. Watch my Twitter, and you know we'll go from there. I guess Julie must have been too tired from all of those wardrobe changes on Thursday night.
I have not seen her that interactive with the house guests in any form of competition, anything like that, for a very long time. So just happy to see her be involved.
Yes, yes. All right, is there anything else you want to discuss before we move on here?
We covered the showmance. We covered Julie Chen's costume competition. One thing, last thing I was going to say, what did you think of Brittany's insistence of now kind of honoring Michael's legacy now that he's out of the game within the game?
Oh, yeah. Of yelling, "This is for you, Michael." That was so bad. That was so bad, Brittany. I'm sorry. There was no reason to do that. I don't understand it. I mean, we saw along the way that she was kind of thinking, "Oh, he did that as a game move. I understand it." I don't care. The other people don't know that. The other people believe he threw you completely under the bus. You've got them confused. You've got even so. It's not for Michael. It was for her. So, it made no sense whatsoever.
It was strange because I know as viewers, we were like sometimes frustrated at like Brittany for being so upset or irate at Michael after the match because it is gaming. But use that. That's something you can still use for your own like. And I feel like it just shows to the other members or potential future jury members that Brittany is very always like playing second place to Michael, even when he's not there, saying this is for you and not even having the gumption to be like, well, this is my own separate game. Screw Michael right now. I need to play to win because, you know, right. It just felt weird. But yeah, I just wanted to bring that up because I saw people discussing that a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. It was very strange. All right. Well, before we get to a discussion of Alyssa's game, of course, I want to mention that the Survivor version of the rules we're about to cover come in a much shorter and more colorful version in poster form. You can go to robhaswebsite.com/yxlostfeed, scroll to that poster right there and click on it. In addition to the poster, there are other ways you can keep the rules close to your heart. There's the poster t-shirt. There's a checklist t-shirt. There's the checklist mug. You name it. We got it. Just again, go to robhaswebsite.com/yxlostfeed and click away.
I'll never get sick of seeing that mug and shirt. I am going to order me one of those mugs before the season. It's almost done, but right at the end of the season.
All right.
Future season.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Well, Alyssa came into the game thinking of herself as a super fan. But that's certainly not what most viewers thought of as we watched her. Or maybe that's actually a perfect term because fans are watching from the sidelines. And I think we'll be discussing that much of her game was the same way. Was there anything that she did well? It's time to figure out why Alyssa lost. The first and most important rule is, of course, to scheme and plot. And right off the bat, we've got a few problems when it comes to Alyssa's game. A few weeks ago, Alyssa wondered, is she going to watch back this season and be the girl who didn't talk game to everyone? Yes, you definitely are, Alyssa. As recent as August 28th, as late in the game as August 28th, she said she had never talked game with Monty. The game was almost over at that point. I mean, she probably should have been clued in a bit more by Zingbot telling her she was useless, but she didn't seem to get it. and responded by saying she needed to cook and clean more. And meanwhile, Taylor and Brittany were just kind of looking on and talking to each other about how Alyssa didn't understand what Zingbot was saying and that she hadn't played the game.
Yeah, I just think she didn't play the game. Like you said, she was on the sidelines. It felt like she was watching the game go on. And it felt like, you know, in the first week or two, you want to play potentially fly on the wall. You don't want to make too many, you know, rifts. Mm-hmm. You don't want to make too many impacts, essentially. But she did that throughout the whole game. Her only goal seemed to not just even survive, but just to be there. Just be there. And I think she acknowledges at the end, really, it's kind of unfortunate where her plea to others was like, I'm literally, you can beat me. And her recognizing, like, yeah, what did she do compared to any of these players? Really not much at all. From the scheming, she let other people scheme, and as the ship sank, they sank. And for whatever reasons, from the beginning of the game, she has been given a life jacket, and she has been able to swim through, because to no autonomy of her own, she has had no movement to make an impact in the game other than
she's at least a better swimmer than Enzo. But obviously the other players noticed. You know, Michael said Alyssa was not game savvy, which is a big understatement. A little more than a week ago on the live feeds, Turner said Alyssa had no idea what was going on in the house, and he was right. She just never had a real read on where anybody stood, which we saw continue until her last couple days in the house, when she kept insisting that Turner would keep her, would vote to keep her, even when it was obvious to everyone else that Turner was lockstep with Monty.
And she had a lot of opportunities to make what connections with this other side of people, whether it was Monty, whether it was game connections with Turner. She had all these opportunities, and she talks about it within her exit interviews, where she says that I wish I gave Taylor a little bit more of the benefit of the doubt, mm-hmm, so I could have worked with her. But it's Joseph's fault for spreading lies between her and I and every one of us. Where'd that come? Like, I don't even know what she's made. So I feel like now, you know, logically speaking, to make the fillers in her, you know, in her mental remembering of things, of how she didn't really do much, she has to make up situations. I don't know.
Isn't Pooch's real name Joe? Maybe that's where she was going with this or something. I don't know. But she came in, and I mentioned this already, considering herself a Big Brother super fan. And early on, she, quote unquote, admitted that to Jasmine. That was her big secret. And it's interesting because one thing that Jessica Lewis and I have been discussing on the Survivor 43 Why Blank Lost preview podcasts, and a topic that also came up in the RHAP patron group, is how do you define a superfan? Someone who watched every season, someone who listens to podcasts, someone who participates in discussions, someone who knows all the trivia. It seems to me like Alyssa fell into the first group. Oh, I've watched since I was a kid. I'm a super fan. But, you know, as Taryn said on the Thursday night recap show, she knew about the show. She just wasn't good at it.
That's a valid point. I mean, sometimes just, you know, I love watching football. God forbid I get a football in my hand and try throwing it or catching it. It's not going to look pretty.
You're skipping ahead and reading my notes again. Stop it. You know, you got that.
I got the spyware. You think?
Yeah.
You know, there's a difference between being able to do something, watch it, and do it. And here's the thing: is that it's not that she didn't have the ability to do it. That was the frustrating part. We did see Alyssa escape from bad situation to also be in the rooms where those conversations could matter. But instead of actually filling the bucket with water and helping her team with it, she kept leaking it to people like Kyle throughout the whole game and spilling information, vital information, never utilizing it in a viable way. She had so much information, actually. She had it from both ends of the spectrum, from the leftover side of things, because Kyle, as well as in the beginning, the girls, girl group, and all those other formations. Alyssa honestly was a true fly on the wall in every single room, where she was actually part of a lot of these things. But for whatever reason, we just never saw her.
She stayed on the wall. I mean, she stayed late. And we're going to, I think that's going to be a theme as we go through the rest of the rules. Like, she was doing something, but she didn't use it to her advantage.
Yeah.
You know? And then part of not being able to use it to her advantage was, like, she said multiple times that she sucks at lying. And that's kind of an important skill to have on Big Brother. I mean, just look at how easily people like Monty and Turner have been able to lie to everyone. That just puts her at another disadvantage here. You know, and also going to, you know, what we were just talking about how she didn't do anything herself with the information she had. This week when she was nominated, she complained that she was tired of being a pawn in everyone else's game. To stop being a pawn, you need to actually do something.
Yeah, I think it's frustrating to see that, because also she's in the final five at that point. You know, you've seen the, this is not in the first 4 weeks where you're just being put up constantly. You're not a Terrence where you're being put up every week. You're not Taylor where you're being, that's a pawn work in the first five, right. 6 weeks. Like, what you can complain about, but you're in week five. And at this point you have skated by and, literally, we talked about this actually in each week. Who was the pinnacle, the pivotal person in each group that they all somehow get evicted and they did? It was Alyssa. She was in every group of every ship that somehow sunk. All right. I know this has been a common trend. We've been talking about sinking ships, and every single player has not jumped off and they stayed in it. I know I'm getting tongue tied today. Alyssa, for whatever reason, though, has never sunk in any ship. And I even couldn't call her this week where she sunk her own ship.
You could say she's a floater.
She's a floater. And she finally got ate by the sharks. She got ate by the sharks. And that's what happened.
Yeah. Now, I would have ended our discussion of this rule here, but in breaking news, Alyssa told Sharon Tharp at Us Magazine that she did make a big move. She voted out Kyle. Yes, that showed that she was ready to play her own game. You already did what I was going to do, which is just the eye roll, because voting out someone who literally everyone else is voting out is not a big move. And if you're calling that your biggest move of the season, well, you kind of just supported everything we said, which was you didn't make any moves.
It's... That whole, and she's talking about someone in the interviews where she needs to talk to her friends before she talks to Kyle, or she needs to kind of reevaluate things and hopefully they'll have conversations in the jury house. But if her own move is from there, she couldn't talk about, like, you know, the way you could have spun it, if she just, I manipulated Kyle and he was in the leftovers and I was able to use my relationship with him to make sure that he spilled information to me. We think I was just a leaky faucet. It was actually both ways there. And I was garnering information. Look where I'm at. You know, there's so many ways she could have spun this. And if she just told Julie, like, I was able to use the social connections I had from versus with Kyle, from the girls, from all this stuff to make sure I'm always secured and safe. There's so many ways you could have made this look better, and she just chose not to, because I think at the very crux of it is that she didn't know what level game she wanted to play and she was playing. She couldn't distinguish between a good move and a bad move, and without understanding what the difference between those moves are, you're unable to make either of them purposefully.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, I think we've beaten that horse for the first rule. So we can move to the second, which says not to scheme and plot too much and to keep your scheming secret. Now, considering we just talked about how she didn't know how to scheme or plot, most of the answer would initially seem obvious, except there's that pesky part about keeping your scheming secret. And you already started talking about that. So do you want to continue in that thought there?
She had a very special ability, Alyssa. It was that if you told her something, somehow it would find its way around the entire house. There was no reason to have a microphone, no reason to yell it. You could just tell Alyssa, and for whatever route, the invictees, even past house guests, somehow she found a way to get to our ears and talk to us. Alyssa had that ability that no secret was safe with her. From Kyle, basically, actually before that, from the girls group, from all the people there, from Nicole to Dana, anybody who told anything to Alyssa was being siphoned over to Leftovers. Moving on from that, soon enough, the Leftovers, any information from them was being siphoned to her via Kyle, and then she would tell other people. Well, she told a few other people she would let loose lips out, and then distinctly, her own allies were worried about her loose lips because in the week of Direfest, when Kyle wasn't sure to spill Leftovers and not Terrence, he already spilled it to Alyssa. And he knew her reputation. He knew how she says every single thing on her mind. And he had to be forced to go talk to Terrence and spill everything. I'm not giving Kyle any pass on that. But the reason that pushed him, the catalyst, was he accidentally basically told Alyssa this already. So now got to tell Terrence before Alyssa inevitably tells him.
Yeah. I mean, as I went through my notes from all season in preparation of the podcast, time after time was her letting things slip. Mm-hmm. Kyle repeatedly said it, that she couldn't keep a secret. Amira told Dalton Ross that she wasn't a good partner in the game because she was leaking so many secrets. She said, I would hear her saying things to people online. I'm like, oh my gosh, stop. One time Alyssa slipped up by talking about an alliance in front of Indy when Indy wasn't part of that alliance. Monty told Turner they couldn't trust Alyssa to hold on to info. After she and Kyle slept together, and Kyle said, you can't tell anyone. It must not have been 5 minutes before she told Turner. I mean,
it wasn't even 10 seconds. I don't
think. Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
He hadn't made one yet, so I had to.
Yes. I mean, these are just the highlights. I mean, as I was going through my notes, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's repetitive, you know. I do think she got a little better as the season went on. Or it could just be that nobody told her anything. So
yeah, there was less secrets to tell now. Less right. people. Here's the thing: is like in the Big Brother house, it gets so boring in there because there's nothing really to do other than basically talk about your stories. And after the first 2 weeks, you basically exhausted all the stories. So any new information you want to use as a conversation, I think that's Alyssa what she loved to do. I think she probably just loved to chat about information, talk to it in her real life, and there's nothing wrong with that. In outside world, but inside world, if you can't inside the Big Brother house, if you can't keep a secret, if you just want to spill it all, it somehow didn't ruin her game quicker. It should have. It really should have. But it ruined everybody else's game around there.
Yeah. All right. One other thing in this rule, I guess we should mention, is her obvious duo with Kyle. I was kind of inclined to ignore it because it certainly wasn't the main reason Kyle was voted out, and it didn't really contribute to her being voted out. But then she told Mike Bloom in her Parade interview that she thought being with Kyle helped her dynamic with everybody in the house and opened doors with several people. Now, that much is probably true, given what we discussed about her game in the first rule. But she continued that if she didn't have Kyle, quote, then I could have honestly played a better game for myself and found myself in a big alliance like the Leftovers. Well, first of all, you did have Kyle and you weren't even invited into the Leftovers. So how would you have gotten invited in without him? And then, you know, you could tell yourself that. I don't believe it. You know, I don't know. I think it goes back to the duo with Kyle not really affecting her either way in terms of this rule. But again, even outside the house, she's just saying these things that don't make any sense.
It honestly like gives me boyish giggles. Like this, the way she says this and the way, like, if there's anybody who should regret the relationship, their showmess, it should probably be Kyle. And that's not to say that's the reason he went home. He went home for other much worse behavior. But his relationship with Alyssa really was a zero-sum game for him. He didn't gain very little. Strategically, game-wise, right. As I mean that. In this way, she was safe far longer than she probably would have been because Kyle was slowly destroying his game week in and week out by trying to protect her.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if they hadn't been a couple, there would have been no reason for him not to use the veto and allow Taylor to put her up, the week before Direfest.
Exactly. And to add to that is that her relationship with Kyle until the very end, but even then, I don't think truly any of the house guests held it against Alyssa for the actions of Kyle. And she kind of got a straight pass when he went away. But throughout the game, she had the ability to by herself individually make connections with Monty, Taylor, et cetera, different people in there who were in the leftovers, and she chose not to. And if she just did that alongside Kyle's ability to be in the leftovers, she would have been right in there. So this argument that without Kyle, she would have made all these strategical moves that she didn't is just a very strange rose-tinted glasses of what the history was.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, the third rule talks about the need to be flexible. And I really don't know what to say here. I mean, the idea is to have multiple plans, and it's not clear that she even had one. On the other hand, she was kind of the ultimate in flexibility because she would have done literally anything in the game other than maybe turning on Turner. But I mean, obviously, she didn't do well in this rule. Her flexibility was more along the lines of just having no plan. So
here's what I'll say. I think she was flexible, but she didn't have flexibility. And the reason I say that is that she was open. Basically, if somebody pushed her one way or the other, whether it was Kyle, whether it was Turner, she would have turned around and did whatever they needed her to do, basically, with her game. But she never had the ability to flex in her own way, in the sense that she needed to move left, she needed to move right, she needed to figure out this combination of plays to make versus this one. She didn't have that understanding or awareness, it seemed, throughout the season to actually be flexible. So it's hard to award somebody ability of adaptability, right? When the only reason they're adaptable was because somebody was forcing him to do that. So is that true adaptability, you know? So I don't think we really saw her have to be in a situation where herself needed to do something on her own violation to make something happen. I mean,
yeah.
It was just influenced by others.
Yeah. All right. Well, the fourth rule says players should not let their emotions control them. Yeah, Alyssa was basically one big ball of emotion, which often involved crying. Kyle at one point said that the others had to be aware that Alyssa is the most emotional person in the house. Thursday night, we saw Turner basically making fun of her for crying when she came to talk to him.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. I know a lot of people in my life who, unfortunately, they cry whether it's an argument, whether it's a small thing. Crying is something you sometimes can't control. So I'm going to give Alyssa a little pass on that, even though I understand how it can be grating to other house guests of it. The issue was that she let those emotions kind of control her rather than control the emotion. She didn't really utilize it to her best thing. If she cries, well, she could have used those tears to kind of benefit her game. Again, that's manipulative, but that's the game of it, you know? And I would have just appreciated to see her take control of her emotions and also rein in the emotions from Kyle, from, I know you're doing XYZ for me and stuff like that. Let me try to figure out a way to utilize this in a game aspect, or maybe put her emotions aside with Kyle. We just never saw her in control of her emotions.
Right, right. And it wasn't even just sad emotions, you know? After she and Kyle slept together for the third time, so they were up to half a minute, Kyle, you know, said that he liked her and then left. And Alyssa turns to the cameras and says, oh, I love him so much. I'm so screwed because nobody prepares you to fall in love on Big Brother. I'm so in love with him. Maybe I wasn't made for this game. I just want to pause it. I mean, okay, maybe she wasn't made for this game. She was right about that part. But yeah, love or whatever it was she was feeling can certainly impact your Big Brother game when you allow it to like that.
And that's the issue, is that I think Kyle really, and to his point, Kyle was really good at maneuvering the game in certain ways outside of basically his whole breakage of a lot of rules we've already discussed. If you want to go back and watch that episode. But Kyle was really good at keeping her safe and not letting any of the mud fall on her. Mm-hmm. And I think she was so focused on the relationship, basically kind of living in the moment. Like she said, that she's not worried about the game. She's just thinking about the relationship.
The moment, yes.
Yeah. She had the ability to truly put a pause on the game for her own game self, because she was just focused on the relationship. So she really wasn't playing Big Brother. She was just living in a house where others were playing.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, the fifth rule says players need to pretend to be nice and play the social game. Several people talked about Alyssa having an amazing social game. Michael said it, Kyle said it, etc. And I think some of the people saying it later on in the game were kind of trying to make her think she had a better chance in jury than she actually did, just, you know, in case they needed her. It's hard to say for sure. And the thing is, I guess she had a good social relationship with people in that they liked her. But the thing is, she didn't actually do anything with it. She was a social person, but that doesn't equate to playing a social game.
No, I agree. I agree. And I think some people will play devil's advocate and try to say that, well, if you're a social person, you're playing a social game. But I think what truly is the distinction between being a social person, playing a social game, and having social ability is that utilizing that level of autonomy that your social game gives you to make moves. And we just didn't see that out of Alyssa. Within social game, she was that fly on the wall. And that's why I think a lot of people actually did enjoy her company and actually liked her as a person, was because she was in those rooms where good things were happening. She just never contributed to it. And so she never really had a mark against her. Alyssa wasn't the one trying to take anybody out specifically. She was never trying to. I think the most time we saw her ignited was essentially Direfest the week against 3v1 against all three of them versus Michael. Or excuse me, not Michael, or all four of them against Joseph. Mm-hmm. And so other than that, though, she really never went very hard on one way or the other. And so when you live through the game for about 70 plus days without really making anyone truly upset, when everyone really has, people are going to have good feelings about her. So in that instance, she did do good there. And then she repaired some social bonds she did have with, like, Taylor, who, again, probably is more forgiving than most people.
Yes.
But in those initial weeks, she wasn't the kindest to Taylor. And we did see that basically be rectified in these last few weeks.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's she wasn't as bad as those who left before her, but she was among them. And, you know, even later on, we saw her on the live feeds calling herself a pretty nice person while she was laughing at Taylor behind her back during the retelling of a story where she told Taylor that she hadn't laughed at her behind her back. So a pretty nice person, but not an always nice person, you know? And
yeah.
And of course we already discussed how in interviews she blamed being told bad information by Joseph. But I think what it comes down to with this rule is, like we said, you got to play the social game. It's all well and good to be friends with everyone, but if you don't actually make any use of that, then what's the point?
Yeah. And the last thing I'll just add to that part is that I don't think this is like a pass fail on this rule, because this rule isn't the reason she went home. She could have played an incredible game and this would have just added on to it and would have been great. It just wasn't a keep her or take her out there. It was just honestly probably, looking back, it's probably one of the best parts of her entire game was that ability that she had some social relationship where people looked at her fondly.
But she other just, than that, yeah, she just needed to actually have the other parts of her game to make use of that.
Exactly.
All right. Well, the sixth rule warns against being too much of a threat. What do you think? Obviously, the biggest threat in the house, and that's why they had to get her out now, right?
You know what? There was an argument, I think, that was made. I saw somebody post about it, that maybe she had a few wins in her back where she had Indy, Jasmine. Maybe she had the girls on her board. She had Kyle. So if you look at those, and maybe Terrence. So that's four votes right there potentially for her. And in a world, I could have seen that happen until that. Maybe somebody finally went to the jury and told them all how much she spilled about them, that she was actually the crux of it. But I do think in some nature, some of the house guests, regardless whether it was true or not, kind of convinced themselves that, wait, she definitely has her lover in the jury. Mm-hmm. There's nobody else who has a showman in the jury. She for sure has. If she's at the end, Kyle is probably voting for her. Indy and Jasmine were in more groups with her than they weren't. So that's potentially votes there. And who was Terrence with kind of the Direfest person there, unless he really wants to give a vote somewhere else? Arguably, it could be Alyssa. So right there alone is four votes. So I could see the worry that she could be a jury.
I could see people worried about it. I think it was a false worry. I don't think they were going to do that unless, you know, maybe against Brittany. When it came down to a battle of, in the jurors' eyes, two people who didn't do much, who do I like more?
Yeah.
I mean, we'll never know for sure. But to my mind, other than that, she really wasn't a threat of any kind, except that she would have targeted Monty if she had stuck around, which was something literally everyone else should have wanted her to do. But Turner was too under Monty's spell to see it, you know? Now, of course, in order to target Monty, she would have had to actually win something. But she wasn't a threat in comps either. And now with this group, that was actually kind of one reason they didn't want to keep her, because the way they looked at it is, if you're my ally and you will protect me by winning comps, then I want to keep you here. So if you can't win comps, why am I keeping you here?
Exactly. I mean, she really didn't show any gumption that she could win a competition, especially when the competition down the line become a little bit more Big Brother focused with days, some trivia or mental competitions. She was very vocal about that not being her strongest suit either. But yeah, I think, unfortunately, though, we talked about this earlier in this show, but for Turner himself, I don't feel like this was a smart decision in that regard, because I do think any votes that Alyssa gets, Turner probably gets those as well from a lot of her jury members. So it's a great person to take to the end. And like you said, if you put her stack to stack other than Brittany, I feel like regardless of how you feel about Alyssa and somebody else, the resume of both Monty, Turner, and Taylor at this time far exceed her.
Yeah, yeah. Now, the topic of keeping threats versus getting rid of them is another one that Jessica and I discussed a bit on our Survivor preview podcast, because it is always this balancing act. You don't want to get rid of your shields too quickly, because then people can turn on you, but you also don't want to keep them around too long, because then they can beat you. Mm-hmm. Turner had a great opportunity to vote out one of his threats who wasn't a shield in terms of Taylor, and keep someone around who was zero threat to him in Alyssa. But he blew it. You know, I mean, we weren't saying take out Monty here. He couldn't have taken out Monty, but you could have taken out Taylor, who was an ally to Monty and is a threat. Sure, but man. No, he's got this tunnel vision. All he can see is Monty. I must be with Monty.
It's so funny, because I will say this too, that from everything Alyssa has done, I really don't think it was almost like she have done more. She should have done more this week and other weeks, but I almost don't feel like it's a fault of her own for going home. The fault falls on Turner, because this was just the wrong move made by him without even knowing any more information. No, just knowing that Alyssa is actually a really close friend of yours, in the sense that she will be a ride or die for you. You can, one, beat her in the jury. So that's two reasons. And then three, Monty, you need to weaken him some shape or form. Taylor is not going to take you over Monty, right, or Brittany. So what universe do you feel like, what, and you're not even taking a shot at Monty. If you take out Taylor, that's just a shot at Taylor. And right. So, I mean, it should have actually, if Turner was looking at this logically, and we'll break this down for his episode eventually, but this was a pivotal mistake in his game at this point, where I think could potentially hurt him a lot. But it wasn't even Alyssa's fault, which is ironic. We could have seen still some solution of Alyssa in the final three.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't her fault. I mean, she didn't, you know, do anything, right? But yeah, Turner definitely made a mistake. I mean,
yeah,
everyone knew going to final two, Alyssa was no threat to win. Although, like we said, you know, maybe against Brittany. We even saw Alyssa say on Thursday's show that she was dragged along, which I think you mentioned also. Everyone should have wanted to take her to the end, but they aren't seeing it. They're blinded.
Yeah, and here's the thing, is Brittany should have wanted that too, because she realized, like, wait, hold on, I might still lose Alyssa, but she's literally the only person left here that I feel like I have potentially a chance against. Mm-hmm. I mean, such a misplay by Turner, and I think basically for Monty, what a great play for him, because now he gets rid of somebody else that could have played for Turner's behalf there. Somebody he knew was going to target him. And also somebody he knew everyone would probably bring over him. When you're a person like Monty in that position, you need to make sure you take out any of the goats, essentially, because they're going to be taking over you.
Yeah. All right. Well, the seventh rule says to trust almost nobody. Once again, Alyssa wasn't exactly great in this department. She trusted Kyle 100%, and he lied to her for weeks before coming clean about the leftovers and other things going on in the game. She trusted Turner 100%. And he was also in The Leftovers and lying to her and also spreading around things that she told him, both game related and not. So her judgment in this area, as in several others, rather tarnished.
Yeah, it just she didn't even realize that Turner, she couldn't even realize ascertain whether Turner was lying to her or was it better for his game or what was going on with her when all the signs were showing that way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she unfortunately trusted too many wrong people. And weirdly enough, her best trust in Kyle was the one that panned out. Wouldn't it probably shouldn't have.
Yeah, yeah. All right, well, this moves us to Appendix A, which deals with the jury phase of the game and is about how players need to plan ahead for Final Two and how they should work the jury. We've already talked some about how Alyssa would have needed something of a miracle to win at the end. Although this week, Brittany told Alyssa that she had a good chance of winning if she got to Final Two because she had excellent jury management skills. Again, I think that Brittany was just trying to convince her rather than actually believing it herself. But more importantly now, what are your thoughts on how this vote impacts the Final Four?
I think what we've seen from the interviews, it's very clear that Alyssa's upset at Turner. Which also, I mean, it was a bad move by Turner, so I think that kind of doubles it. Sometimes when you feel like this was a smart decision to take out your ally, even if you're an ally, you can respect it. I don't feel like she'll respect it in a jury-wise. She threatened him with poisoning her vote. I don't know if it was just a threat. You know, she acts like it was just like could be a real thing. We also now have Alyssa and Kyle in the jury together, meaning that they potentially could be a block of votes. So whoever they feel deserves it, it's like two votes for one, essentially. Mm-hmm. We know that
she said that Monty is playing the best game right now.
Yep, she's exactly took the words out of my mouth. Monty is playing the best game right now. She hopes that Brittany and Taylor will make it to the end, but I think she's really counting Brittany, and she also talked how she's playing the worst game right now. So it seems like this just adds another person in Monty's favor at this point.
Yeah. You know, and Monty said he'd never been close with Alyssa, while Turner obviously was. So as we've already discussed, it removed a piece for Turner going forward. Mm-hmm. And it's even better for Monty and Taylor because not only did it remove a piece, but Turner screwed things up so badly that if Final Two ends up being Monty and Turner or Taylor and Turner, like you just said, Alyssa's not a guaranteed vote for Turner anymore.
Mm-mm. No, she's not.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I also think she could potentially, I mean, she continually throughout the week talked about how good a story Taylor has, mm-hmm. and she's not wrong. And I feel like that might also be a tune she's whistling in the jury.
Yeah. I mean, Turner made the absolutely wrong move for his own game. He could have gotten rid of Taylor. It was easy to predict that Taylor and Monty will almost certainly team up against him. But like I said earlier, he was blind to it. I mean, when Brittany does a much better job at jury management than you, you know you've really screwed up. And Turner's goodbye message didn't even make any logical sense. He was like, oh, I needed to vote with the House. Dude, there were two votes. You were the House. There is no more House. You were the House.
I like that. You were the House. Yeah, no, I mean, it's, I don't know also why he thought that would be a good move to hide behind that when it's like your really good friend you're taking out of the House. I think you need to give a truly justifiable reason of your own of why you're taking him out of the House.
Right.
It'd been like, you could have made it up. Like, I just, like, I need to get you out of here because I know you had votes for you on the jury. And I know if I put you on the jury, I'm really hoping you'll be a vote for me. Again, this is all game. I have love for you. Something of right. that nature. And then
yeah,
you might respect it.
Anything with the House. Better. Yeah. All right. Well, it's about time to wrap things up for Alyssa. So what are your final thoughts about her?
I think my final thoughts are probably going to be as short as her end impact on this game. Alyssa truly played as not a house guest, but a roommate to these house guests. We did not see, unfortunately, the game that we were hoping for from Alyssa in this Big Brother 24 season. The thing mostly is that it's not like she didn't have the ability. She was put in the room. She was put in the positions, and she really had certain allies around her where she could make these moves. But we've seen that you can't, you know, even if you lead a horse to the water, you can't make him drink it. And that was the story of Alyssa's game. She really had all the tools to actually play a very successful game, and she did not utilize any of them. And I believe that's why she lost.
Okay. Yeah, Alyssa seems like a nice enough person in general who liked Big Brother when she was watching and thought she could do a good job. But this is where your spyware comes in here, because that's like me watching football and thinking I can knock over a lineman who's twice my size and half my age. The difference is that I at least would know how to run a play, and I have a concept of the goal of the game, whereas I don't think Alyssa even had that in Big Brother. She was easily influenced and distracted, whether it was by early lies about Taylor or the stories Kyle told her or Turner lying to her. She followed along. She didn't take responsibility for her own game. She didn't want to be a pawn, but she never showed any ability to even be a rook, let alone a queen. Alyssa just really didn't play the game of Big Brother. Like you said, she was a roommate. She was social. But that's not the same thing as having a social game, because she didn't actually make use of any of her bonds. I mean, her best friend voted her out. What kind of social game is that? She had basically no plan, no allies, no game to speak of. And that is why Alyssa lost.
Well put. I cannot wait for one day when I pass away and David Bloomberg can do my eulogy.
And that is why Ovi passed away.
Ovi, no, that's why Ovi lost. That yeah, has to be on gravestone.
All right. Well, before we continue into our predictions, because remember, everybody, don't you know, stop now. We're still going here. Let me remind everyone that the rules we just discussed are available for, you know, the Survivor version, which is very close, in both poster form, T-shirt form, checklist form, mug form, sweatshirt form. It's starting to get a little cooler out. So again, go to robhasawebsite.com/yxlostfeed. For our predictions, because the eviction of the fourth place finisher will be Thursday night, and then they're turning around and having the finale on Sunday, we aren't sure. So this is more of a listener announcement. We aren't sure exactly what we're doing when it comes to the podcast. We may very well combine all of the final four into a single podcast next week after the finale. So in case that happens, let's talk about some predictions of what we think will take us to the finale. We know Taylor won HOH, one of the rarities that we actually saw an HOH. I think it might be the first time this whole season. But we also know the winner of the veto will be the one with the most power. If Monty or Turner win, I think they're voting out Brittany no matter what. Although that would be a huge mistake for Turner if he were to do that. But we just spent the last like 50 minutes talking about a number of huge mistakes by Turner. So is that a surprise? If Brittany wins, then one of the guys goes. I would presume she would vote out Monty, but who knows for sure. If Taylor wins, then, well, that's interesting because she gets to choose who the voter is. She doesn't get to vote herself. Mm-hmm. She chooses who the voter is. Of course, by doing that, it sets us up in one of these other situations. She has repeatedly vowed to have two women in the finale. But I don't know if she trusts Brittany so much after what just happened. And of course, we have the issue we referenced much earlier in the podcast and the question on whether she is willing to cut Monty. Like, would she say, OK, Brittany, I will pull you off the block. You have the one vote, but I really want you to cut Turner. And then, you know, Brittany would turn around and cut Monty anyway. I don't know. I do think, no matter what relationship Taylor has with Monty, I still think she would cut him for game purposes.
Oh, wow.
I don't know. What do you think for this portion that, you know, this first veto?
I honestly do not see a world where Taylor cuts Monty after the showmance. And I just feel like the way I know Taylor talks about she's going to, she plays strategically in ways, and she was an ice queen in certain ways. But I really do think she does play a bit with her heart in a lot of ways, and she shows loyalty where I don't think she'll turn her back on a leftover like Monty. Brittany, I think, is a little different situation just because she's kind of taken the first shot at her recently, especially with the whole move with Alyssa voting to keep Alyssa and voting out Taylor. And if something happened, Taylor goes home. So I think that's where she's a little wary. I also, though, I know we've talked about it, but I don't know if there's a world, though, exactly where Brittany is completely safe just in case some other people win the veto. I could still see Monty having a chance if he does win the veto, or he does vote out Turner. I don't know if that's a big one, but I think that if he starts to believe, I know your argument may be over there, but I think if he starts to believe that Turner has a really good chance of winning the final three, and also has, if you break down his HOH reigns, has a really good resume, I think he worries about that against versus Brittany, who has it there. And, you know, you can bring up the concern that maybe Brittany will probably take Taylor over Monty, and that's the situation. So I'm not sure, though. I still wouldn't count it out.
Yeah, it's an interesting situation, because what he would have to debate if he's the one who makes the decision is, if I get rid of Brittany, I'm 99.9% certain to make final three.
Yeah.
Because I think Turner's bringing him. I think Taylor's bringing him at that point. But he might not win against them. Mm-hmm. Whereas if he gets rid of Turner, yeah, Brittany might not take him. But if he has the choice and brings Brittany, he's assured of a win. So it's kind of a complex math problem. It's like my percentage here times the percentage here equals what's the best overall chance.
Exactly. And then there's always a situation where he has to take pay. If Turner takes Taylor over him, you know, there's a lot of different elements.
Yeah, I can't see that happening.
I think that happens in a situation if Turner feels like he still has a better HOA story, or basically a story to tell than Taylor. What I'm most curious about is whether the house gets on the inside of the house who aren't in the jury still feel they, I know Alyssa mentioned how Taylor has a great story of it, but if they're just saying it more so to bolster up Taylor's threat level in the eyes of the other members versus truly believing it. The jury, I think, also that's still true. Believes Taylor has a good chance, but I wonder how good of a chance does Monty and Turner truly think Taylor has in there.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, actually, yeah, let's look at possible pairings at the end. So first pairing, Brittany versus anyone. Brittany loses. I feel like she might have a very, 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 very tiny chance against Turner. But like I said, very, very, very tiny. I think she gets second place if she's in the final two. And you know what? She was happy with that before. So, you know, okay. I think the only person that Turner beats is Brittany. You know, I think we mentioned Taryn called Turner's decision to evict Alyssa one of the worst decisions ever at a final five. And I agree. He got rid of his tightest friend and ally and the person he could also easily beat at the end. If it's Monty versus Turner, I think Monty wins handily. I mean, I know Turner can say, I have this many HOHs, but what did you do with them? You did what you were forced to do or what you were told to do. Like, he didn't have a say in evicting Kyle. Even the leftovers was created by, I mean, it was during his HOH reign, but it was not created by him. You know, everything that happened, he is just so easily influenced, and he's influenced by Monty. So I just think it's so clear that Monty controlled Turner. I don't see how Turner will be able to argue himself out of that one.
Yeah, and the reason I'm thinking over here, basically, who's in the jury who could potentially vote for Turner and actually turn over Monty? Because if Monty and Turner are at the end, we know Taylor's in the jury, and that means Taylor, I really do feel like she'll give her vote to Monty with their whole relationship. Then we have, here's where I'm curious, do we think Terrence maybe throw something to Turner potentially that he feels Because here's maybe. Up in grabs is Terrence, maybe Kyle. I could see throwing it for him. And then I also feel like Alyssa might have some time to forgive him. So that might be three votes. I don't think Jasmine is giving her vote to Turner.
No.
I'd be very surprised. And then you have Indy, who I don't really feel like her, him and Indy had much of a relationship there.
Yeah.
Michael, Joseph, I don't think is going for Turner because of that situation. Right. I'd be very surprised there. And I feel then you have Michael and Brittany, and I feel like maybe unless Michael stays very bitter against Monty.
Which I don't think he will. I saw no signs of bitterness when he left that house. So,
yeah.
I mean, when he was leaving, it was. But yeah. In the minute he exited the door, it was gone.
It was gone. So I think we'll need to see major bitterness to see Turner have a win over Monty.
Yeah. Now, if it's Turner and Taylor, I think Taylor has enough goodwill and Turner has enough bad will to combine for a Taylor win.
This is where I kind of wonder too, because here's the question is like, I feel like there's, and it depends on how well Taylor will answer these jury questions, which I think she will actually answer them really well. Mm-hmm. Her being in the Miss USA pageant, being they have to answer these questions on stage like that. So she's done a lot of.
She'll answer it with actual words. She won't just say, "Oh yeah, facts, man. That was bussing."
Exactly. You know? I like that the rendition of Turner, but yeah, I think that I think the girls really might give it to her for that, and I feel like she has enough goodwill. And actually, she is a very nice parallel to Alyssa, who was in a lot of the rooms with these people, mm-hmm. but actually made sure those connections she formed, the social from her as a person, turned into something. She had a much higher uphill battle than Alyssa in terms of trying to make those relationships with people, but she has a lot to point at. So. I think that'll be the ultimate battle between a social game and a game of strength.
Yeah. Now, when it comes down to the one other possibility, Monty and Taylor, I think they have the worst chance against each other. I don't know for sure who would win that battle. So much depends on how the early jurors feel about voting for Taylor. Like, do they feel bad for how they treated her and now they're going to make up for it? Mm-hmm. Or do they still harbor some of those feelings about her? Who do you think wins out of those two?
This one's a really tough mm-hmm. one because Taylor has a killer story. And I know she's going to be able to convey that killer story very, very well, I feel like, from being on the block from week one to fighting her life out and every single person going out one by one by one. But then you have Monty, who has played a very calculating, stone-cold game. That we talk about ships sinking left and right. He's been steering each ship, and he's known literally when to take his group of people off one ship and buy another ship and start another mm-hmm. ship. Monty has played a very skillful game where he has been rarely ever the ire of a target or in trouble in the game, and that takes a lot of commending. So I don't know. I do feel like, though, it's going to be really difficult to award a win to Taylor over Monty, regardless, just because Monty also, while Taylor was in the rooms of these things, Monty was leading the rooms in certain of these conversations, whether it was the leftovers, things like that. He always had some sort of control, whether he brought in Michael, whether he brought in Taylor. He had his guys, group of friends. I mean, man, it's a tough one. But I think I have to give the win over to Monty, but you never know.
Yeah, I don't know.
And I would love to see it, though. I think that's going to be a really exciting. I think we would get a very split jury. And I honestly, I don't think I would be upset regardless of the result, whether it was Monty or Taylor, because I feel like they are both played a very good game mm-hmm. where they could both be deserving winners.
Yeah. Yeah. So then what is your overall prediction for a winner? Are you sticking with your preseason pick of Taylor? Because I saw a TikTok that you posted where you changed from Taylor, but now I'm wondering, since we've had our discussion, if I've convinced you away from the person you picked in that TikTok.
No, I'm gonna stick with. So here's the thing: in that TikTok, I said I want Taylor to win, and at that situation, it wasn't when it was recorded. Also, we were still Alyssa hadn't been voted out, so we didn't even know Taylor won this HOH. So
okay.
that was the kicker. It still has final five. Now that Taylor's won, I think it diminishes Turner's chances. But I would be very happy just for my own ego if Taylor wins, because I also predicted that she would win. She was my winner pick from the very beginning of this. So I can do a nice little before and after and be like, yes.
So you're sticking with her as your prediction?
I am.
Stand by it? Okay. I sadly cannot stand by with my preseason pick for a Brittany win. You know, there's still a slim hope of a 1-2 finish, and I'd be happy with that. Just as Brittany would be happy with second place. But I think I am going to predict that Taylor wins also.
Wow. Okay. I love that. We're both on the same thing.
That's right. All right. Well, I mentioned that our next podcast might not take place until after the finale, but I am pulling double Why Blank Lost duty. Over the past few days, Jessica Lewis and I have put out two Survivor 43 preview podcasts for the Baka and Coco tribes. And we have the Vessi tribe coming up probably tomorrow. Then, of course, Survivor starts this Wednesday. So we will have the first Why Blank Lost of Survivor 43 shortly after that, featuring a couple special guests before the Big Brother finale Why Blank Lost that you and I will be doing. Whew. But of course, you know, there's other ways for people to talk to us in between all of that.
Exactly. Because please do not forget that both of us are very active on several different social media platforms where we discuss Big Brother, Survivor, and a number of other topics. On Twitter, I'm at the Ovi Kabir and David is at David Bloomberg. We're also both on TikTok because David is our resident TikTok influencer, where his name is at David_Bloomberg. And I am at Basmati Boy. David finished up his coverage on Survivor South Africa and is finishing up his coverage on Big Brother 24 by starting his coverage on Survivor, where he will do mini Why Blank Lost on there, potentially weekly about that, or post different clips on there.
Yeah, different clips, right.
Yeah, okay, different clips. Yeah. And in addition to that, we're both on Instagram, where David is at David.E.Bloomberg and I am at Obi Kabir. We post a lot of videos there. We love chatting with you guys. So please slide into our DMs. Talk to us how you feel about this. And also, like always, we love it when you guys post in the comments here. Tell us where you're watching this from, whether you saw it from TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, etc. And let us know what you think we might or might have not gone wrong. And I want to know, who do you think is going to win in this final four moving forward?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. On TikTok, I just hit 100,000 likes. So thank you to everyone for that. I need a little more than 100 people to follow me to make it to 2000. That's a nice round number. You know, and another, you know, then we could start moving from there. So everybody go follow me there. But as we wrap up, I want to encourage people to check out the RJP patron program at robhaswebsite.com/patron. You can get access to special patron only Big Brother podcasts. And now as we move towards Survivor, there's also patron only Survivor podcasts. And even when Rob isn't talking directly to everyone, there's the Facebook groups and Discord to keep everybody occupied with great community of people. There's two patrons on this coming Survivor season. I believe you game with one of them. So, you know, I'm not saying that joining our JP patron program will get you on to Survivor. But, you know, it can't hurt. You know, we've had a couple winners come out of the patron program. So, you can go to robhaswebsite.com/patron or click on the link at robhaswebsite.com/yxlostfeed. Also, everyone should make sure they're subscribed to all the RHAP podcasts by going to our YX Lost feed page. They'll find great Big Brother content transitioning into Survivor content. So, again, just follow everything. With that, thanks to Scott St. Pierre for the editing done on this podcast and to Will for America for the theme song. And of course, thanks to you, Ovi, for once again joining me. I look forward to, you know, as we approach the finale here, and we'll soon be able to talk about all of the finalists.
I can't wait. Thanks as always, David, for having me. And thanks to everyone for watching. See y'all next week.
We'll see ya. Bye.
This is why blank lost. This is why blank lost. Oh, baby, this is why blank lost.